The Mars Pharmacy Group has its roots in Baggot Street, Dublin, Ireland. It was first opened in 1921 and operated by the Marr family up to 2001 when Una O'Hagan purchased the store from Pierce Marr. Based on its reputation as a community pharmacy, it is important to Una to retain the name Mars Pharmacy as a trading name. Over the next 10 years, five more Mars pharmacies followed, and Mars continues to be a family-run, community-based pharmacy business. Joining me now to tell me more about this business and even her own business career is Una O'Hagan. She's the owner and managing director of Mars Pharmacy Group, and she's very welcome to the executive's chair. Una, how are you?
Oh, I'm a bit nervous now, Bobby, to be honest with you.
Well, don't be nervous, because I know you're it all started in Plumbridge in County Tyrone, in the foot of the Sperrin Mountains.
Yes.
Your mother worked for a company called Coulthard's that used to supply laundry to Marks and Spencers, and your first job was putting wires into the bras of the M&S. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. So my mum, yeah, she was a manager of a huge factory, actually, in Plumbridge, tiny little village, as you say, in the Sperrin Mountains. And then they made bras and knickers for Marks and Spencers, yeah. So my first job was putting underwear into bras, and I spent the summers working with my mum. And it was great, really, because that was the first time that I could see, I suppose, her management skills and her leadership skills. And I don't think I realised it at the time, what impact that had on me.
Right.
But now, looking back, I think it was ingrained in me, you know. So I suppose her ability, just her fairness to the employees
thing. Factory was predominantly female employees, was it?
Yeah, like? I'd say probably 95% of
right.
females. Yeah, and a few guys, you know, engineers and that, but mainly women, yeah. So
okay.
It was an interesting place, yeah.
Great. Now, you nearly became a doctor, but the fear of needles got the better of you. You were all set to go and become a doctor. And tell us that story.
So, well, you know, in the north you do A-levels. So I'd chosen three A-levels that were very scientific, you know, so biology, chemistry, maths. And I always wanted to do something in science. I always wanted to come to Dublin because I spent a few summers in Dublin looking after my aunt's children, and fell in love with Trinity. So I wanted to come to Trinity. So I chose, medicine, pharmacy and science were my choices in CAO form. And when it came to it, I got the points. I was blessed to get the points for all three, for medicine as well. And our A-level results come out a week before your CAO results come out down here. So Trinity phoned to ask me which I was going to choose, because they needed to know for allocation of places.
Yeah.
And just on that moment, you know, I'd put down medicine as number one. And just that moment, I just said, no, I'm absolutely petrified of needles. What am I doing? And I said, no, change me into pharmacy. And that's how I ended up in pharmacy.
And there's a lovely story, Una. My guest is Una O'Hagan, the owner of Mars Pharmacy. The way that you actually ended up acquiring the business, Mars was started in 1921.
Yeah.
Pierce Marr, you were effectively an intern for him, as I understand it.
Yeah.
And you sort of said to him, if ever you're selling this business, give me a shout.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, that became true.
Yeah. It's incredible, really. I suppose how pharmacy works, you do 4 years in college, and then 1 year after that, you work as an intern or as a pre-reg, as we called it then. And you have to choose a tutor. And so I always lived as a student around Baggot Street, and I knew the pharmacy. In fact, it was the first pharmacy I went in to buy a pair of tweezers whenever I was in Dublin. So what I did was I loved the pharmacy. I loved him. He was a real character. So I asked him, would he be my tutor? And he said yes. And I had an amazing year there with him. I just fell in love with the shop, with the customers.
Yeah,
the community.
As you do.
Yeah, as you do. Mm. And I was really sad the day I was leaving, to be honest with you, Bobby. And I said to him, you know, listen, if you're ever selling, you give me a shout, won't you? You know, thinking nothing off it, really, to be honest with you. And I headed off and worked for various different people. And sure enough, then 4 years later, I got a call from him. And he said, listen, I'm selling the business. You always said to me to give you a shout. I have an offer on the table from a multinational. I was just thinking last night, you know, what would my mum think about that? And I thought of you, and I said, I'd give you a call. And listen, here's how much they've offered me. And if you can match it, the pharmacy's yours. So I got off the phone ecstatic and phoned my mum, of course, and she says, well, that's all great, but where are you going to get the money for that? And I went, right, never thought of that. And she told me just to ring an uncle of mine in London. He's the only business person we knew really in our family. And I did. I said, listen, what am I going to do here? And he says, well, you need to speak to a bank manager. You need to go and get a loan. And I said, well, I only have a student account and I'm always overdrawn. Like, what am I going to do? And he says, listen, I'll make a call. He phones somebody in London, who phones somebody in Ireland. Right. And next thing, I got in to see a crowd in AIB. And I remember them phoning me and saying, listen, come on Monday morning. You have to come at 7 o'clock in the morning and just make sure you bring your business plan. And I was like, business plan, what the hell's that, you know? So what I did was went off and bought a book, how to write a business plan over the weekend, and that's what I did.
There you go.
Off I went, yeah.
And now this business, Mars Pharmacy, 6 outlets, also you run a post office, you have 68 staff, a great, great business. Una, just let me talk about, I suppose, the world of your business.
Yeah.
One of the things that slightly perplexes me as somebody who would never have in his wildest dreams got 600 points or whatever you need for pharmacy, but that correlation between the academic achievement that one needs to be a pharmacist and then maybe could there be a disappointment that you're effectively a shopkeeper? In other words, all this, you know, that the environment... how am I saying this? The environment where you actually end up working and the qualifications needed. Obviously, you need to be very bright.
Yeah.
But then you end up in a business. You like, I know it's more specialist than a spa shop or anything like that. And there's a whole medical piece. But just, you know, that what I'm really saying in a nutshell is that the most academically blessed of us may not be the best retailers.
Well, that is the biggest challenge, you know. I suppose, I didn't go to college really for 4 years to stay in the dispensary and pop labels onto boxes. You know, I went to college to be a pharmacist in order to make a difference to people's lives. And I think most pharmacists would be in that category. And to be honest, Bobby, that's been, I suppose, the biggest disappointment. And I'm sure many pharmacists would say that, you know, your perception of the career is very different to the reality whenever you arrive. And there is a bit of a disappointment. But to be honest, I think that's where the opportunity lies today. You know, we have so much more to offer. You know, we're the gatekeepers of the Irish healthcare system. Patients come to see us before they go see their doctor. And we are so highly trained. People don't even realise.
And is that a lost opportunity, Una?
Massive lost opportunity. Listen, we have A&Es bursting at the seams. We have GPs, you can't get access to them. They're completely stressed. And here we, jumping up and down in the middle, saying we're fully trained and we have a huge willingness to get involved.
And am I right in saying that the embracing of the pharmacists in the UK saved the NHS about $1 billion because they threw their arms around the pharmacists and said, look, this person can prevent people going to hospital, can prevent queues in doctor's surgeries, etc.
Yeah, well, last year alone, the NHS has saved over $1 billion in the minor ailment scheme. So this is where they have basically directing patients to try a pharmacy, first of all, to see if they can actually solve the problem. And yes, they've put a bit of money into it, but what is actually resulted as a huge saving to the state over there. And we have the ability to do that here in Ireland, and we really want to do that as well.
Couple of things I want to ask you about, and I suppose the business is split in two. You've got dispensary and you've got, I suppose, what do you call it, all the other things, the nice things,
the
makeups and all
business.
That.
Yeah,
the government effectively controls one part of that business. Yes. And again, we don't need to go into all the axing of those margins and all that. So effectively, with I suppose, a big percentage of your business, you don't really have any control over the price or the margin.
No.
And are you of the view then that you only really sweat about the stuff that you can actually solve? So that I know you've embraced online, Una, with your Ask the Pharmacist, which sounds great. And this taking in of cardiac screening, cholesterol, all these other services. That's really how you see your pharmacy making a distance or difference.
Well, you're right, Bobby. We can't control what's going on in the dispensary. There's only one person can control that, and that's government. So really, you have to focus on what you can control. And so there's a couple of things we can control. Number one is the retail sales. So what we're doing is really focusing on providing a brilliant customer experience both in store and online, something really, really different. So that's about getting unique products, following the trends, you know, checking out what bloggers are saying that they're recommending, checking out social media and getting those products in. That's the first thing. Second thing is our people, making sure they're absolute experts at what they do. And we've rolled out a huge variety of services, as you say, screening services to really promote people's health, proactively look after it rather than reactively. And online then is the third thing. where you can ask our pharmacist any question and we'll come back to you straight away, or you can upload your prescription and we'll get it ready.
That's a great service.
Yeah.
And just finally, you say that, Una, that you employ only employ can-doers. You want to employ day makers rather than transition takers.
Yeah. So we listen, that's the biggest thing learning out of the recession for me. I've had enough of the negativity. I just want to be surrounded by positive people. And we're in a caring profession. Our customers just want to be minded and looked after whenever they come in. And so we're looking for really people with the right attitude. And that is positive people who will make our customers' day, not transaction people who will stand there in an environment that looks clinical and like a supermarket. We're about the personal touch, really, and about making a difference in our community. And that's what I mean by day makers rather than transaction takers.
Okay, well, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. It was great to see you at the Retail Excellence Conference last week.
I know
you're,
good to see you too.
You're the chair of that great organisation and you're doing great work.
Thanks a million, Bobby. It's a real honour and privilege to do
Uno
that.
Uno O'Hagan, owner and manager of Mars Pharmacy Group there. Great to hear from you.
Thanks a million, Bobby.